entitling this message this evening. Hope this will be of a blessing to you. Like I said this morning, I've had more people tell me they got help from this message than any one message that I myself preach. I've enjoyed being with y'all today. We love you. Love your people. I love your partners, family. Oh, James, so good to see you. We had some good meetings. I put some good meetings. Church you used to pastor, Victory Baptist Church. Over there close to Welcome. Love this man, a good man. We have visitors here tonight, friends here. So good to see some of our good friends back here on the back pew. I'm over at Tate Memorial Baptist Church, Brother Dennis Testnier, pastors that church. I've preached a number of times in that church over the years. Now, tonight is the first time since I had this bad, deadly virus that I've attempted to preach twice in one day. And if I'm able to do this evening, it's going to greatly encourage me. It'll let me know where I stand. Let me know what I'm going to be able to do in the future. And I'll just be honest with you, I need all the encouragement I can get. Because that doctor's done told me I'm supposed to go back and see him Friday. And he's already told me I'll never fully get over this. Damaged my lungs real bad. Real bad. That's the reason why I sometimes when I'm preaching, you see me do like that, I can't get my breath. But his grace is sufficient. I'm not going to complain, praise God. I'm just glad to be alive. There's a lot of people my age had this stuff and they died. We had two in our church to die. Yeah, we had two in our church to die. So, I'm blessed to be still around. Amen. Ate some good chicken today. I ate at Brother Rochester and Sister Rochester's house today and had Himalayan chicken. You ever heard of Himalayan chicken? Oh, that's the most juicy, most tender chicken you'll ever eat. The reason why it's so juicy and so tender, found Himalayan side the road. How many of you drive a Ford car, truck? Let's see, hand. How many drive a Ford? Number of hands here. Well, you know the difference between a Ford and a golf ball. You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Your pastor wanted me to tell this joke I'm fixing to tell. It's his favorite, I guess. One time the Germans and Americans were at war. And this full-blooded Indian got caught in the crossfire between the Germans and the Americans. He saw he was going to get shot. So he started running as hard as he could go, trying to get out of that crossfire. He saw a foxhole with an American soldier in it, so he just dove in. But that American soldier, he noticed he was a full-blooded Indian, so he thought, he won't be able to understand a thing I say. So I'm going to make signs to him. So he looked at that Indian, and he said, you're a paratrooper. And just stared at him. Thought for a minute. He said, you're a pilot. Indian just stared at him. So he thought for a minute. He said, you're in the infantry. Indian just stared at him. So he thought for a minute. Did his gun like that. He said, you're in the cavalry, in the cavalry. All of a sudden, that Indian jumped out of that foxhole, started running as hard as he could to get away from him. Got caught in that crossfire once again. So he's going to get shot. So he saw another foxhole with an American soldier in it, and he just dove in it. Well, that Indian, soldier in that foxhole just started talking to him in English like I'm talking to you. He said, Indian, you are crazy. You're crazy. Don't you know you could have been shot? And then said, me down that hole over there anyhow. That soldier over there said, when the sun goes down and the moon comes up and the men go home, I'm going to take this gun and beat you till your eyes pop out. I want to tell some more, but I better save my energy to see if I can bring this message. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Love to preach on what I'm going to preach on this evening. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's a good place to be. To be in Christ is to be saved. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means a brand new creature altogether. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I lead us in a word of prayer. As I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart about where you're sitting? Our Father and our God in heaven, Father, it's wonderful to be back this evening. Thank you for giving me the strength to preach this morning. In Jesus' name, please give me the strength to preach again this evening. Oh God, Father, I can't thank enough for saving my own soul. Thank you for all those here that know the saved. One here that's not saved yet. In Jesus' name, save them right here this evening. Now, God, please do what I can't do. Open eyes to truth this evening. Cause to see our position in Christ. Please, God, open God your people's eyes. Please. Please help somebody get something out of this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May have to cough the rest of my life, but like I said, it's grace sufficient. And preacher, with the help of God, on becoming what you already are. You say, wait a minute, preacher, how can you become something you already are? Well, I'm talking about the difference between your position and your condition. The difference between your standing and your state. See, your position is high, it's heavenly, it's holy. But your condition, your experience may be way below that. And your condition, your experience will never fully parallel with your position until we get our glorified body. But we should be cooperating with God to bring it more up to our position in this life. In other words, God help us. We don't want to become a self-satisfied Christian. I don't want that. But the growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to go forward, don't you? Now this message is kind of scattered, but I know where I'm going. Just stay with me. I don't use an outline in this message. I just want to drive some truth home to your heart of who we are and what we've got in Christ, freely by God's grace at that. You get a handle on what I'm preaching on this evening, you'll never be the same again unless you backslide. I know what I'm talking about. What I'm preaching on this evening completely changed my life back, a long time ago. I got so desperate at one time, I pushed the plate back and I said, I'm not eating another bite till God does something for me. Then those days of fasting and praying, God showed me, began to show me what I'm preaching on here this evening. If God happened to show me what I'm talking about this evening, I doubt I'd even be in this pulpit this evening. My life was so messed up before God saved me. I experienced so much rejection when I was a kid. I was an unwanted child by my daddy, beat on me, and I'd hide under the house and run away from home. The last time I ran away, it started not to come back. So when God saved me, I had a whole lot of baggage. I'd have nightmares, and that's about gone now. Thank you, Jesus. I'd have nightmares about the way my daddy treated me when I was a kid. It was that bad. Now, there's a vital difference in the Bible between promises and facts. A whole lot of the promises in the Bible have conditions that you're going to have to meet. For example, Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The conditions in that verse for God to show you and I great and mighty things is call unto me. It's to pray. Then in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. the conditions in that verse for God to meet the necessities of life for you and I is to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You say, well, preacher, God's not meeting the needs of my life. Can't hardly pay the rent. Don't have hardly have food to put on the table. Well, let me ask you something other. Remember that verse got conditions. Are you putting him first? Amen. You got to put him first. See. I'm telling you, he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He's not going to play second fiddle to anybody or anything. But we're not talking about promises this evening. We're talking about facts. Facts. Something that's true of every saved person in here and out of here. But you and I can go through our entire Christian life and never get a handle on this. I'm sincere. I know what I'm talking about. I've never seen God show what I'm pushing this evening. I've never seen God show it to anybody except those who are hungry and thirsty. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Got to be hungry and thirsty. Now, there are a lot of pictures in the Bible of the Word of God. Bread, milk. Bible talks about the milk of the Word. Meat of the Word. Sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God compared to a sharp two-edged sword. Water. Running water is the type of the Holy Spirit. Still water is the type of the Word of God. And then Jeremiah, God said, it's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. So in that verse, we see the Word of God compared to a fire, a hammer. But the one that's on my heart this evening is a mirror. 2 Corinthians, and in the book of James, the Word of God is compared to a mirror, a looking glass. So you walk into your bathroom at home, look in that mirror, it shows you what you are physically. You look in this book, it shows you what you are spiritually. This book is compared to a mirror. So we're going to look in this mirror to see them and see what it shows us. Having said that, let me share this with you because it relates to what I want to deal with, the fact that the Word of God compared to a mirror. Years ago, there were two girls born in this family in England. Both were attractive girls, but one was prettier than the other, and that happens a lot of times. The less attractive of the two girls, she let that bother. Shouldn't have, boy, except the way God made us. After all, God told Moses, God said, who makes the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the sin? Have not I the Lord? Well, she developed what you'd call an inferiority complex. It affected her relationship with her sister, parents, friends, everybody. And it always will. Because you cannot conceive of yourself any different. Or you can act any different than you perceive yourself to be. See, that's what Solomon said a long time ago. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. If you feel like you can hold down a job, you probably can. If you feel like you can't hold down a job, you probably can't. If you feel like you can be a good husband, you probably can. Feel like you can't, you probably won't. Feel like you can be a good wife, you probably can. Feel like you can't, you probably won't. Feel like you can be good parents, you probably will. Feel like you can't be good parents, you probably won't. You just can't act any different than you perceive yourself to be. See? So daddy began to realize that his daughter had problems. He heard that there was a plastic surgeon in New York City. This is a true story. It's real life. He heard there was a plastic surgeon in New York City that was very successful at plastic surgery. He's rather reluctant to approach her about going to see that plastic surgeon because they didn't know what her reactions would be. But when he finally did, she consented. She said she would go. So they sent her to the plastic surgeon in New York City. Now let me say something before I go any further. I don't think you and I ought to be, you know, going to any doctor, plastic surgeon, trying to change all this. Some of us too far over the hill be fooling with that anyway. I don't think it'll help some of us that much. If you get in a bad wreck and your features are marred one thing or another, then sure, there's nothing wrong with having that kind of a plastic surgery, but to go down here and try to be changing all this, you know, I mean, you know, I got a pretty good sized nose, but I don't bother me, I can smell good. I really know when I'm eating fried chicken. Or baked chicken. That was a good meal, sister. Now, doctor analyzed her features. He said, yeah, I'll make you just pretty as your sister is. And he did. He performed surgery upon her face and bandaged her up. Wheeled her down to the room and waited for that critical moment when he'd take the bandages off. When he took the bandages off, the old doctor was just elated. Why? Because for one more time, he was successful at plastic surgery. She was absolutely beautiful. And he couldn't wait to see her reactions when he put that hand mirror in front of her. She stared in that mirror. See, it's a true story. She stared in that mirror for 45 seconds. And then tears started rolling off her face. She shocked the doctor and everybody else in the room. She said, you see, it didn't work. He thought, what do you mean it didn't work? And pushed the mirror a little closer to look again. Again, she said, it didn't work. You know what the problem was? She had conceived of herself as being unattractive for so long until when she was confronted with the truth, she couldn't get a handle. She couldn't grasp it. See, if you and I are not careful, we'll come to this conclusion about the Christian life, just up and down, up and down. C.I. Scofield said that may be the experience of the Christian, but he said that's not the Christian experience. Christian experience is victory. See? But if you're not careful, we'll get to thinking, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not either. Jesus said, I'm coming that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Paul said, nay, and all these things, we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors to him that loved us. So say someone comes along and preaches on what I'm preaching on the stage, if we're not careful, we'll start looking, you know, at the one sitting by us or looking at some of the others in our church family, and we'll say, well, I don't see no difference. And me or them, I believe I'm just as spiritual as anybody else in this church. Folks, the people that are sitting by us, the people we go to church with, is not our standard. Here's our standard. This is the mirror right here. It took him 6 months to convince her that she was everything that mirror said she was. 6 long months. So we look at the people sitting on the pew by us, you know, and we say, well, this must be the way the Christian life's supposed to be, because I don't see any difference between them and me. No, it's not the way it's supposed to be. We should be living in victory. So let's hurriedly look now in this mirror and see what God has to say about us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our text for this evening, that's not a promise to claim. That's not a command to obey. That's a fact to act upon. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Brand new creature altogether. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we get to think of it as, well, I'm partly old and partly new. You didn't get that out of the Bible. That may be your experience, but that is not your position in Christ. Amen. See, the most accurate thing about you is what this Bible says, not what you feel. Not what Dr. So-and-so says. It's what this Bible says about you. I remember back years and years ago, a long time ago, there was a man greatly used by God. My house used by God. God used that man to help me. His name was Manly Beasley. He preached a lot along this line. He said this. He said, you're not going to go very far with God till you learn how to discover the truth. He said, until you learn how to discover the truth, he said, you're going to have problems. And that's true. You'd be surprised at some of the problems that some of the precious people sitting right here on these pews are having this evening. You'd be surprised. John 1:12 is a fact. See, we're dealing with facts instead of promises or commands to obey. But to as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. If you're born again Christian, you're a son of God. I don't have time to go on all this. There's a difference between a child of God and a son of God. Now, I don't think I've gone off on a tangent or something. No, I've done my homework. I've studied this Bible diligently now for over 50 years. You become a child of God by regeneration. You become a son of God by adoption. See, Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. 1 John 3:2 says, now we're the sons of God. Man, if we could get a handle on all of this, I'm telling you, you'd probably run around and around this big old building. Colossians 2:10 is a fact. You're complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. Not almost complete, complete. I've made to feel so incomplete when I was a child because of all the rejection, abuse I went through. But I'm telling you what, when God saved you, when God saved me, God made us complete. He made us whole spiritually in Christ. You can't add anything to completeness. First Corinthians 1:30 is a fact. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who God's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, just whatever you need. Jesus made that in us, to us, through us, and for us. Hallelujah. Wonderful to see this and experience in your heart. It'll change your life. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 is a fact. It says we're accepted in the beloved. I spent a lot of rejection as a kid, but when God saved me, I became accepted in Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, Jesus loves me. This I know why. This Bible tells me so. In God's family, I've not had to run away or hide under the house. No, no. I want to tell you something while I'm at this. You can't do a thing in the world to make God love you more. You can't do a thing in the world to make God love you less. His love is unconditional. It's unconditional. It's not like human love. It's not fickle like our love. So God loves me when I'm... God loves us when we're right. He loves us when we're wrong. He loves us when we're up. He loves us when we're down. No wonder George Matheson entitled his song, "Oh Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus in his intercessory prayer in John chapter 17 said that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's a mouthful, but Jesus said that. That the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That plainly says that God loves me and you as much as you love Jesus. That's a lot of love, folks. Thank God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 is a fact. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm dealing with facts. Something is true. If ever one of us is saved, whether you experience it or not, this is the truth about you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That means the war between us and God is over. We have peace with God. Amen. Jesus made peace for us. This fellow said one time, I'm thinking of a fellow, he said, "Boy, I made peace with God. I made peace with God." No, you didn't either. Only Jesus can do that. Make peace with God on our behalf. Then I heard Romans chapter 8 verse 2 is a fact. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. But what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh has condemned sin in the flesh. The law of the spirit of life. Now that's not talking about the Ten Commandments there. It's talking about a principle like the law of gravity. What goes up comes back down, you know. Principle. So the principle of life in Christ is greater than that principle of sin in us. See, good example of what I'm talking about. Every time I drop it, it comes down. But it's not coming down now. The law of life is overcoming the law of gravity. Hallelujah. The life of God, me and you, overcomes sin. We don't have to have sinful habits in our lives. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. Oh no. But I am talking about what this Bible's talking about. And that's victory over sin. Paul said, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us victory. It's a gift too. First John 4:4. Great fact. You are of God, little children, have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Jesus on the inside of us is greater than the devil on the outside. Amen? Yes, then in 1 John chapter 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible plainly says if you're born again, you're an overcomer. You say, well, why in the world am I not overcoming? Probably because you're looking at what you're experiencing instead of what the Bible says. Looking at your feelings instead of the facts. Galatians 2:20 is my life text. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. When Jesus died, literally, physically, on that cross, in some spiritual, mystical sense, you and I died with him. And we were buried with him. And we were raised to walk newness of life. And right now, while you're sitting on those pews, we're also seated in the heavens in Christ. And all this should be real. It should be experiential. It's real. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, it's heaven on earth. Thank God. I'm seeing something. I believe I'm going to be able to preach twice a day now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I thank God for that because a lot of pastors, when I go preach for them, they want me to preach Sunday morning and Sunday. I think now I'm going to want to do that. By the grace of God, I'll just do that. Woo! Hallelujah. Something to shout about. Galatians 2:20, that's the same as Romans chapter 6, where Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace be abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he said in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That's Bible now. Sin can't make a dead man sin. Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourself dead. That's a mathematical term. It means count. Count yourself dead. Why? Because you are dead. That's the book. I know what it sounds like Greek and Hebrew. But I repeat, when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. We died with him. I was fasting and praying when God first showed me that. It was so real. Until before the week was over, I was out behind the pastor. I was there. They were having a prayer revival. And God showed me this truth from Romans 6 at that, while I was there with this pastor. And before the week was over, I was out behind the pastor, and I wasn't doing it for show because there was nobody back there but me and God. But I was walking back to the forge with my hands up in the air, and I remember what I was saying. I felt like I'd just come off the chain gang. I felt like I'd just come off the chain gang. I felt like I'd just come off the chain gang. Well, is that biblical? Yeah. Three times in Romans 6 it says free from sin. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Amen. You and I learn how to discover the truth and the truth will set you and I free. Amen. You don't have to be in bondage to that sin nature in you. You can have victory over it. Hallelujah. I'm going to clinch this with the charts, and I'll let you go. We love you, people. You're so attentive. You'll make a COVID man preach. Now, what I want to clinch it with this. Now, what we talked about this evening is facts. Not promises to claim, not commands to obey, but facts to act upon. Facts. We're accepted and beloved. We're children of God, sons of God. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been justified, to name a few. And there's many, many more. Facts. Comes in this order. Facts, faith, feelings. And it's easy to come here and sing, oh, how I feel good when you, oh, how I love Jesus when you feel that good. But it's a horse of another color to come here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus when you feel that bad. But you're going to have some days when you're going to feel like that. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how obedient you are. I believe Apostle Paul's the greatest Christian ever lived. And Paul experienced some of that. He told the church of Corinth, he said, I was with you in weakness and in what? Fear. That's a feeling, folks. A very negative one. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I mean, no matter how spiritual you are, you get the flu or you get that virus like I've had it, you're going to feel like that. Or worse. You get a migraine headache, you're going to feel like that. You get out here and work real hard or extend yourself, you're going to feel like that. But what I want you to see is regardless of how you feel, it's not going to change the facts. You can still have the victory, even if you feel like that, because that won't change. And by the way, the problem on this chart is not really there anyway. And it's certainly not there. There's the problem. Faith got his eyes off the fact and got his eyes on feelings. If the devil sees you're going to do that, he's going to create all kinds of lying, insinuating feelings. Have you doubting your salvation? So the problem is not really here and it's certainly not here. It's right there. If the devil gets you to live by your feelings, you'll be like a roller coaster, up one day and down the next. Up the next day. But we're down now. How you doing, preacher? Pretty good under the circumstances. What are we doing under the circumstances? The Bible says we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Look at faith, flat of its back. But again, it don't matter how bad we feel, and don't matter how weak our faith is. Look at the facts. They don't change. Amen. Therefore, you and I can come to church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," regardless how we feel. Why? Because we know the most real thing about us is not what we feel, it's what the Bible says. I'm just saved when I feel like that. That's when I feel like this. You say, well, how you know? The Bible says so. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you base your salvation on the way you feel, you're going to be like a yo-yo. Well, we're fixing to get back up now. You see, why don't you? Faith got his eyes off the feeling, got his eyes back on the facts. Sometimes when I'm not experiencing victory in my life, then I have to just push some things back and get to assessing the facts, get to affirming the facts, meditating on the facts. And you know what happens? You go back to sharp one. You get back on top of the situation. Folks, this means a lot to me because I'm having to live here. I'm all burned out and suffering from that virus. So I have to live there. But I can go to church and shout a little bit like I was doing a while ago and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Why? Because I don't care how bad I feel, they ain't going to change them facts. I'm telling you, folks, the most real thing about you is not what you feel. It's what that Bible says. That's the most real thing about you. Praise the Lord. Are you hungry and thirsty this evening? You might want to come get in this altar and say, "Oh, God, I need that to open my eyes." That's the prayer to pray. It's for God to open your eyes. So you don't pray for God to give you this. You've already got it. You just got to see it. Sometimes pastors ask me to do a series on this. And one of the messages is entitled, "An Enlightening Minister of the Holy Spirit." That whole message, and that message, what I do is I try to get people to see that the Holy Spirit has the open eyes of your heart to see this. Watch this. 1 minute, you're going through life. No victory. Striving, struggling, trying and failing. Then when you see this, really, you're shocked. You say, "You mean to tell me that I've been living on a plateau here when I could have been living on a plateau here?" Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I believe God will save me in what I'm fixing to say. I believe most Christians go through their entire Christian life on a plateau right about here when they could have lived on a plateau right here. What if when we get to heaven, God would have shown us what we missed out on down here? Because we lived on a plateau about here instead of here. What I've talked about this evening is true of every saved person in here and out of here. God's just waiting for you and I to get a handle on this. And I'm telling you, you get a handle on this, it's going to be a new book. You'll be amazed how you'll enjoy reading this book and how it'll speak to your heart. You're going to be amazed how you'll enjoy praying. I'm sincere. For years and years and years, I have really actually loved to pray. Loved to pray. Can't enjoy it as much now as I used to because of this old virus, but I still pray and still enjoy it to some extent. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless live. Yet not but Christ lived in me. Christ lived in me. As F.B. Miles said, the Christ life for the self life. Now since you and I have been crucified with Christ, that we died with Christ, then who you think is in there to live in place of that crucified self? Jesus. Jesus. You can't live the Christian life, and I can't either. That's the reason why Jesus is in there. He's in there to do it. He's well able to do it. This thing can become so precious, so sweet, until you're conscious of the fact that Jesus is actually living through you. That's the reason why you can so enjoy praying so much. Why? He's praying through you. He's praying through you. Praying in the energy of the flesh, that's hard work. But let Jesus pray through you. You'll find yourself wanting to pray. If this becomes real in your life and my life, no one will have to hunt you up next Sunday. You'll be here. You'll want to be here. You'll look forward to it. Are you hungry and thirsty? God said, I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty, flood upon the dry ground. Have a brief word of prayer with you. You may want to come get in this altar. Say, God, please open my eyes to see that. Open my eyes to see it. Would you stand on your feet? Head bowed, eyes closed. Musicians have come. I have a word of prayer with you. Some of you may want to come on the altar while I'm praying. Father, thank you that it's all of this in heaven too. Thank you when you have some heaven on the way to heaven. Lord, I thank you there is a victorious Christian life. I thank you Jesus is our victory. Jesus is our life. Thank you he's all in all. Thank you he's the head over the church and all things. Thank you we're already completing him. God, thank you, Father, thank you. Thank when Jesus died, we died. When his bed, we buried. When he rose, we rose. When he ascended, we ascended in some mystical, spiritual sense. Thank you we're seated in Christ in the heavens. Right now. Father of all principality and power. And again, Father, if there's one that lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right now. Jesus' name we pray. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians praying. Pianist is softly playing. I encourage you to come. Would you come? Would you come? Victor in Jesus, right now, not tomorrow, but right now. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest Baptist preachers ever lived. He said, little faith take you to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to you. See, this thing's by faith, not by feeling. Okay, Pastor.